Good morning. Hey, I want to start off by showing you a short couple of clips here. Brandon, if we could, then I'll explain it here in a moment. Anybody read that? Okay, if you go to the next one. Okay, you didn't know I spoke that language, right? So that's pretty cool. So that is Farsi. And that is a clip from the first episode that actually started on the 21st. It's being broadcast now. These services, the music with the, what do you call that, subtitles in Farsi, and then this whoever shares, it gets overdubbed. It's amazing. They even do the pauses and everything. It's incredible. But that just started this week throughout all of Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, all of the Middle East, all of Europe. And they have separate, unrelated people who have done some polling of who is watching and listening to this network, and it's estimated between 4 and 6 million people are actually watching it every day. So we're talking about millions of people, and it's in part because of your generosity. Thank you, because we raised some money from you, and also we took some from our missions budget to do this. And so this is being shown now. Every service that we record with worship is being shown 13 times a week. So it's a huge bang for the buck, and we want the Lord to really, really use this in so many lives. And so, Lord, would you just ask that every single one of these episodes would touch, change millions of family members who are around the world right now, who don't have access to a place to meet, who can't worship legally, who can't read a Bible legally, who cannot be a Christian legally. Lord, we're asking that you would encourage them and enrich their lives and radically touch and change and build them up and encourage them, inspire them, lead them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to get to hear lots of stories in heaven about all that the Lord has done and is doing and here as well. So thank you for being part of that. Thank you for being encouraged as well by this. I want to talk some today about following Jesus and living in the tension of life. So Lord, we just ask that you'd speak to us, that you'd show us things, that you'd reveal yourself. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the one that does this so well. Illuminate and help us, Lord. You are the comforter, you're the helper. Amen. Amen. All right. A lot of this is really going to be similar things that you know, but I really want to address things that we go through really on a daily basis. And my hope, my desire, what God has put on my heart is for all of us to be healthy spiritually, to be healthy physically, to know who we are, to be, you know, engaged in our purpose, but also to be sound and joyful, clear and free of any unforgiveness, and to really pursue Jesus. More than anything, it's that you would have a close, continuing walk with Jesus. That is what we all need more than anything else, is to know him and to follow him and to be in him and to abide in him, and that we would have our own relationship apart from any other person in our lives, apart from any church in our lives, that our individual relationship would be so solid, and then we can do all the things that he wants us to do. But let me just run through some of this. I want to read a scripture that's not read often, though it's one of the first ones that I memorized when I was a teenager. Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate." You guys know this passage, right? "For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction." There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow gate that leads to life. "There are many who enter through it," through the broad way. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a sobering thing right there. You know, there's a promise at the same time that if you will seek, if you will pursue, if you will ask, Jesus said, I'll reveal myself to you. That's why I like to encourage non-believers to ask God questions. Are you real? If you're real, show yourself to me. Jesus loves those kind of questions. And the person who's pursuing will find him. That's a promise, right? I want to show this first image here of, this is a 26-lane highway. How would you like to be on that? No, thank you. That's in, I think, Katy, Texas Expressway or something like that. I believe it's in Texas. But 26 lanes. That would be, I would say, a picture of a Broadway, right? Many, 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 many vehicles. And really what Jesus is saying here is that there's a highway that's so broad that most people are on that. And then if you can put up the next photo here, then there's the narrow way. Not as many people on that one. And that one is, it's much more enjoyable. I just got to say right off the bat. One of the things I say often, if not weekly, of one of my favorite things about living where I do in Winston-Salem, after having lived in Charlotte and Washington, D.C., is no traffic. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's one of my favorite things, honestly, is to be able to get somewhere when you want to get somewhere without sitting in for an hour. I used to sit in over an hour of traffic each direction going to work when I lived in D.C. But here, Jesus is talking about there is a narrow way that is his way. There is a broad way that leads to destruction. Interesting. So there's a parallel. There's an analogy there with the world's way and the Lord's way. Now, sometimes it's, I think, gets misrepresented in what Jesus said here and really cast upon Christians as being narrow-minded. Now, going through a narrow gate and being narrow-minded are two entirely different things. Right? So in truth, going through the narrow gate and pursuing Jesus, who is the way, right? He's the truth and he's the life. He actually, since he's the creator of the universe, broadens our thinking. I mean, the one who slung the stars into space is not a narrow-minded person. He is huge. Massive, much larger than anything we can comprehend, and he lives on the inside of us. So, and then it says that he gives us the mind of Christ. Whew. That's not narrow. That is huge. That's large. That's beautiful. There's a lot in that. But the pathway is a narrow one. That's different than being narrow-minded. The pathway is a narrow one. And there's on this road that we are on, this pathway that we're on, if we put the next photo up here, these are really kind of the roads I grew up on a lot. A nice narrow path has a couple of things on it. One, it's usually a beautiful pathway, road, but there are also on either side ditches, which have function. I've had to pay for a large gravel road that we used to live on to get regraded. It wasn't done right, and it needed to be crowned on top, what they call crowning. So it has a little high point in the middle, so the rainwater runs off, and not down the middle, it'll ruin the road. But the crown of the road then goes down, and everything runs down into the ditches. But to get to where you want to go, you need to really stay on the road, stay on the path, not in the ditch, right? And there are some ditches in our lives that are just there. You didn't create them. It's not your fault that they're there. They're just there. But here are two big ones, or I'm going to say the ditches, one on the left and one on the right, would be, also put this one on the left, a lawlessness would be a ditch, and the other one is legalism. Legalism and lawlessness, they're opposites of one another, but on either side of the path of life. They're on either side of the way that we're supposed to be traveling and following the Lord. With legalism, here's one thing that Jesus said, and I think of this often when you read Matthew 23, I still get surprised and a little bit shocked at the language of Jesus as he speaks to Pharisees. It is strong. You ought to just pull out Matthew 23 sometime and read how Jesus addresses religious, legalistic people. He blasts them. Here's just an excerpt of that. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." The scribes are basically the lawyers of spirituality. They're the ones that were so focused on the law, dissecting it and creating their own interpretation, but they were very legalistic. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," this is Jesus' words, "because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte," one convert, "and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." That's the language of Jesus as he speaks about legalism. Now, if you are, I'll just say this, if you're over 40 and you grew up in church, you've probably had to deal with some legalism. I mean, I have. I feel like I had to unlearn as much as I had learned. And because what I had learned, a lot of it was legalism. It was really focused on the do's and the don'ts and the appearance and the behavior apart from the heart. Anybody grow up in any of that or have any of that that you had to get through? Jesus hates that stuff. He's all about what's going on the inside. He's all about what's going on the inside. What's going on in the heart? In fact, you take the law with its rules and regulations, and they're not all bad. Like, it's good not to kill people. It's good not to commit adultery. It's good not to bow down to idols. There's some good things in there. But Jesus takes the law, and then he actually increases it in some ways. Do you realize that? Like Matthew chapter 5. He says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. Because he's saying, I'm looking at what's in here, not just what you're doing on the outside. So it's not just the outside, it's what's going on in here too. So he even elevates it, but then he gives us the power to overcome that too. So he pays the price that forgives us of all of our sin where we mess up. So thankful for that. But legalism is a trap. It's a ditch. We want to avoid that. And legalism does so many different things. There's so many elements of it. It is a religious spirit is what it really is. That focuses on the do's and the don'ts. It also often focuses on the law, focuses on the Torah, focuses on this apart from the focus on the person of Jesus. It elevates certain elements much higher than the Lord. And whenever that happens, we're in trouble. If we ever elevate a doctrine, if we ever elevate a language, if we ever elevate a certain style, or my thing that I feel like is so important above relationship with Jesus, we are in that ditch. We're in that ditch. I've been in that ditch. And then here's another trick in life is that oftentimes when you're in one ditch and you realize it, we tend to be fairly reactionary sometimes. We can then get out of that one, cross the road, and go right over on the other side, which is the ditch of lawlessness. That happens a lot of times, unfortunately, and vice versa. You can go from a lawless ditch, cross the road right past Jesus, and get back in the ditch of legalism. And lawlessness, my goodness, there's so much in the scriptures about the legalistic side of things and also about the lawless side of things, particularly the lawless one toward the end, the age that we're in. And then you read it in Revelation a lot. Let me just read a little bit about it. 1 John 3:4, John says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Matthew 7:23, Jesus said this, "And then I will declare to them," and he's speaking of those, you know this in Matthew 7, "those who prophesy in my name, those who do miracles in my name, but I never knew you." And then he says this, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So you can have spiritual gifts working in you, but not have any, the laws of the kingdom that are written on our heart. When we get rid of all of the guidelines, the morality, everything is okay no matter what you do, that's lawlessness. When there's no spiritual authority, when there is no authority, that's lawlessness. That is just as evil as the legalistic side. Yet I've found in my own life elements of both of these try and seep in, or you find yourself going over there, you know, because the road is crowned, you know, water runs off on both sides. You know, there's a pull to things that it's a little bit like gravity. Here we are on the earth. There's a pull to it all the time. It's not my fault. It's just there. And the enemy tries to pull us to one of these two things, to being lawless or to being legalistic. And there are a lot of examples I could use. I think you understand what I'm talking about in both of these things. But Jesus is here, the center of the road. He is the road. He's the way. There is such an importance for you and I to stay so focused on the person of Jesus every single day, all the days of our life, and not on the things that can distract us from him. And even if they're great things, even really good things. Think about this. The Pharisees that Jesus was blasting in Matthew 23 had memorized most, if not all, of the first five books of the Old Testament. They knew the word better than anybody else. They had the word in them. It was a priority, and they were good at it. They had it inside them. They could quote scriptures all day long. But that they then, though, became enemies of Jesus when God sends his son to the earth. They become his enemy. Just having something memorized, just having a certain behavior, well, that's so different than what's going on in the heart. So they need to be focused on what God was doing. What was he really like? What was his heart behind this? Rather than just the rules of the regulation. Two great scriptures here. The first one, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3. And these... this one I have used often here. I feel like it's a gift that Paul gave us here. It's a prayer for the Corinthian church, which is a church moving in power, moving in the Spirit. Here's what Paul says to them. He says, I betroth you to one husband, that is to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid. You got the Apostle Paul who bobbed around in the ocean a few times, shipwrecked. You got the guy who was stoned with rocks, all that. Here he's afraid of something. Here's what he's afraid of. He's afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds, Corinthians, would be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. He was concerned that they would be led astray. I'll say that in my vernacular, that they'd be in a ditch. That things would get complicated, that they wouldn't have this one focus of the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. That when I get up in the morning, it's about Jesus. That when it's in my conversations through the day, it's about Jesus. It's about him in my mind and in my heart, and that I'm looking to him, that I'm filled with him, that I'm abiding in him. All these other things are coming in. And the freedom that I have, if it's on the lawless side, the freedom that I have, all of a sudden there are no rights and wrongs, and it's whatever makes you happy, whatever feels good, all those things tend to creep in. Paul is concerned about that for the Corinthians. And then Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, for by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is gravity. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So that, all these things that he just said, that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He says, Jesus needs to have first place in everything. Conversations. Dreams, plans, vision, whatever you're doing, your work, your family, that he would have first place. He is the road. You stay, when he's first place, everything else is going to be all right. When he is first place, you're going to have the answers that you need. You won't be led astray. You won't find yourself in a ditch. And if you do for a quick moment, there'll be this realization and then you get right back on the road. We don't have to be afraid of that, of the ditches. And then the Lord helps us as we focus on him to live in the tension of the legalism and the lawlessness, to live in the tension of life. You know, life has a lot of tension in it. Have you figured that out? There's a lot of tension in life. And I think in part is this. Ephesians 2:6 says this, that you and I, because of Jesus, are seated with him in heavenly places. So wait a minute. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. When? Right now. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That hardly makes sense up here, but it's a spiritual reality. So you are in heaven and you're here. You're in both places. That's not easy to live in two places at once. There's tension there. There's how do I live in, I'm filling the shoes that I'm in right now, yet I'm in Christ as he is in heaven, where he has all authority, all dominion. I'm living there and I'm living here. There's tension in that. Just being a spiritual person and the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, yet you're in a body, in an earth, on an earth where there's sin all over the place and there's darkness, there's tension there. Just walking around, just getting up in the morning, there's tension in life. And then you add all of the pressures that take place. There's so many contradictions and seeming contradictions that really aren't, and we'll talk about a couple of those, that are in the scriptures. You got these places that are opposing one another, and we're supposed to live right in the midst of it. We're supposed to live right in the midst of those things. The path of life actually winds through opposing things. And God made it that way. You're made to live perfectly at peace in the tension of life because of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside, because of Jesus that we are standing on, living in, and he's inside of us. Here are some of the tensions that you and I feel. How about the tension between work and family? Got both of those things, both pulling. How do I carve out the time for my family? How do I give 100% at my work? There's tension there. How do I do those things? Very natural. How about this one? The spiritual, having spiritual discipline and being morally disciplined versus I've got freedom. There's a freedom to go. There's a freedom to eat gelato. There's a freedom to do a lot of different things. So how about the tension between doing things that are where I'm disciplined in my life, but also I am enjoying freedoms that I have been given as well, right? There's a little tension in that. So how do you live with both of those? There's the tension of doing what God has asked you to do, but it's not easy. Like, how about this? Jesus says to the disciples, go ahead and cross the lake. I'll meet you over there. Okay, they're obedient. They're in a boat, and there's a huge storm. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But the storm is coming against them. There's tension between those two things of, wait a minute, I thought, if I'm doing what Jesus asked me to do, then everything should just be smooth. Guess what? There's tension in life, even when you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. There's a storm. In fact, Jesus is sleeping. On one of those times when there was a bit stormy, one of the times he was walking on the water, the other one he was in the boat with them, asleep in the midst of the storm. Amazing. He's at peace, but there's tension in just living. There's things that oppose, that come against us. It's not that we're doing something wrong. I love this. In Ephesians chapter 6, speaks of putting on the full armor of God. We all learned that if you were in Sunday school, right? You got the breastplate. You've got the helmet of salvation. You've got the shield of faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit. You've got the belt of truth. You've got the boots shod with the gospel of peace, right? All of those things. That speaks of being in a war, of having conflict, of having tension, of an opposing force against us. Then it says this beautiful thing, having done all to stand, stand. Just stand there right in the midst of the tension. Whatever you're feeling, whatever's coming against you, you stand anyway. You've put on what you're supposed to put on. You're in the storm. Just don't give up. Don't veer off course. Don't dive into one of the ditches for safety. Stay right where you are and stand. I think it's one of the greatest things of spiritual warfare, actually, is that very thing right there, is standing. Not giving up, not caving in. But it is there's tension. How about family members, spouses, loved ones that are doing the wrong thing in our lives? And you want them to do the right thing. There can be tension there. How about Thanksgiving dinner? Christmas, all of those things. There can be tension in families. Beliefs that are different. All the tension of one over here and one over there. And against one another. Difficulty. There's a tension in, how about this one? Being generous with our time and with our resource, yet being a good steward. Right? When you leave here today, you may pass a couple of homeless people who are going to be on the streets asking for money. There will be a tension of, no, yes, how much, right? Versus no, there's tension. What do I do? There's decisions. How many decisions do we make? And there's opposing views on both things. I'm in the midst of some of those right now in my life. Then you have a tension of knowing God. It's our motto here. Knowing him, fellowshipping with him, enjoying him, and then taking action. There's both of those. Both of them are right. It's actually a scripture is where we got that. It's Daniel 11:32. Those who know their God will display strength and they'll take action. So there's the knowing him, but there's also the taking action part. But there could be a tension between the two. When do I take the action? When do I just enjoy him? And oftentimes it's both, or it's there are seasons, and then there's moments in time. As we stay on the path, Jesus helps us know when we're supposed to do something at a certain time, how to do it at a certain time, but it has to be focused on him. And as I'm focused on him, he's gonna lead me into, when do I do this? When am I disciplined in this area? When am I generous in this area? When do I give, yet when do I hang on to something and save it? Thankfully, Jesus is right down the center. You know, the best golfers hit that thing right down the center of the fairway. They are staying down the middle, and that is what Jesus is, the path. As we focus on him, ask him for help, he helps us in the midst of all of the tensions in life. Along that, the knowing God and taking action, we've got some scriptures on one side like, cease striving and know that I'm God, Psalm 46:10. Cease striving, no more striving. Know that I'm God, stay in my presence. Hebrews talks about being diligent to enter into the rest of Jesus. And then you've got Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You've got both. You've got both of these things. Throughout life, there's just constant tensions. What am I supposed to do? When am I supposed to do it? They got the pull to one side or then the pull to the other. And Jesus is saying, just follow me. Just follow me. I will show you. You will know by my spirit inside of you when you're supposed to do something, how you're supposed to do something. But don't get your eyes off of me. This is Paul's concern. Don't leave the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. If we will stay with the simplicity, oh, I like that word too. Stay with the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus, then he helps us live in the tension and not try and avoid it. But he helps us know what to do in the midst of it. The tensions go together, actually. One last one here that I'm thinking of. In John 3:8, it says, those who are born of the Spirit, they're like the wind. You never know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going. They're just all over the place. They're led by the Spirit of God. And then you've got scriptures. How about, you know, those who build their house on the rock? They're solid, they're immovable. The winds come and it doesn't even move them. Well, those seem completely opposed. Those who are led by the Spirit, they're like the wind. And then you've got the winds pounding the firm in God. Well, how about this? In Jesus, we've got, he's a symbol. Symbols for Jesus can be either a snake or a stone, or you've got all kinds. Yet the devil could be a, you know, symbolic of a snake too. So there's like all kind of different things. When I talk about snake, I mean what was held up in, as they were in the wilderness, when everybody would look at the snake, then they got healed. And this, it was a snake on a cross, basically. And that spoke of healing in that moment. It spoke of the poison of the snakes that were biting them going away. But it represented Jesus in the future. So you got Jesus represented by a snake, but yet a lion and a stone, a rock. He has so many pictures, but it's all of those at certain times, but not all the time, because we've got the enemy who's also goes about like a roaring lion, right? And he was a snake in the garden. So it's there is this place that you and I have to stay in of staying connected in the simplicity and purity of devotion to him, and he shows us what to do in each moment. Okay. If we could put this last picture up. You guys know what that is. I am not a musician. I don't play the guitar. But what I learned is you have bridge pins here on this side, and then you have tuning posts on the other side, and you've got a string between two opposing positions. And as you tighten those, I'm not going to mess up David's guitar up here. I'm tempted. He says, go for it. Look, I'll hold it anyway. I'm not going to mess it up. But this is a perfect picture, I think, of living in tension. Right? Yeah. That would be ugly. We just go straight home. But you got these right here, these posts right here on the bridge, and then you've got these tuning posts here. And in between, if there was no tension on these strings, it would not sound good. It would just be a nothing. It'd probably be like, just like that, just nothing there. But tension causes that beautiful sound. Tension causes something to sound where if it wasn't there, there's no way it would be beautiful. And the way God has set things up is for there to be tensions in our lives, but for him to be in the midst of them with us, and he causes the sound of who we are to be beautiful. He causes the sound of who we are. When you stand and you don't fail, move to one ditch or the next, when you stay right in that spot going, I don't have all the answers, but guess what? He who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Guess what? The Holy Spirit lives in me. He has the answer. I am in him, and I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to fall apart and cry. I'm going to stay right here. And even if my family members or my loved ones are doing everything wrong, or how about this? You've been praying for healing for something, for someone, and it hasn't happened yet. There's tension there. Jesus paid for it. It's available, yet I don't see it yet. There's tension there. Do I then abandon both? And maybe this isn't real. I just abandon the whole thing. No. Staying in the midst of that and believing, not fleeing, not running away, staying in the midst of that tension and trusting and turning to Jesus again and again and staying there centered with him, he will change the situation. He is the one who will help guide. He's the one who will bring the supernatural. He will do it if we don't abandon our posts. Matthew 28, Jesus said something so wonderful. He said that wherever you go, I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even to the end of the age, I'm going to be there. I'm with you through every storm. I'm with you in the midst of every tension. Just keep looking to me. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't go over here. Don't go into lawlessness, and don't go into legalism. They might feel safer, but they're lies, they're deceptions. They lead to destruction, both of them. We can stay right here with him. I feel like, you know, for all of us in life, every day we have tension of certain kinds and volumes and sizes and amounts and pulls. Some of them are great, some of them aren't that great. But we need help. We need help from the Lord. I feel like there are several people here who are living in tension that feels like it's beyond you. I do not know how to function in this. If that's you, if you'd stand up, I just want to pray for people who feel like they're living in such a tension that it is overwhelming. The Lord is going to help you. The tension of difficult relationships, difficult situations, circumstances. And let's pray for them. If you're close by and they let you touch their shoulder, if you could touch them. And the Lord, here's the terrific, good, glad Mary news is that Jesus has the answer. He's got the answer. He's got the answer for you. He's got the answer for the situation. He's got the answer for what's ahead. He says that the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. Now, if the king's heart is in the Lord's hands, so is everyone else's. Right? The Lord can, he's holding the world up. He's holding it together. He can do and move and help as we stay focused on him. And so, Lord, we just right now lift up our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our family here that are standing. And they're saying, I need help in the midst of this tension. It feels too much. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to fix it. Not sure what I'm supposed to do. And Lord, you do know. And I'm asking that you would help right now, that you would give wisdom, that you'd give understanding. And Lord, I also ask that since you are the Prince of Peace, that you would bring peace to their souls, to their minds, to their hearts. Bring that peace that completely takes the poison and the feeling and the emotion out of the tension that they're feeling. Lord, I ask that you would give them such a peace that they would be like you on that boat in that storm when everybody else is freaking out. Lord, I'm asking for your peace and I'm asking for your wisdom that they would know what to say, what to do, what decision to make. Lord, I ask you to play your song with them in the midst of this situation. As it's tense, I ask God that you would create the sound of the kingdom through them. May the sound of the kingdom reverberate through them in the situation, at home, at their job, at work, at their business, at the school, whatever and wherever the situation is. I'm asking for your sound to come through them. Lord, we're here to make a sound. We're here to be used as your instrument. We've sung it today that we are no longer our own. We're yours. We're yours. We've been bought. We've been paid for. We've been purchased with the highest price. Lord, would you strum on us? And I pray for every single one of these standing and those who are seated as well, Lord, that you would cause your sound to be heard through us, in us, around us. Make the most of our situation. Lord, I pray also in all of us that we would get rid of the flight, the desire to just run away. Lord, we just sacrifice that right now. We just put that on the cross. And Lord, you are with us in this storm. You are with them in this situation. You are with them, and you will give them everything that's needed. They can have full hope that the God of hope is with them and will give them everything that's needed, that will provide the means, the resource for what is needed, and the wisdom. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, even right now. Thank you for doing it today. Thank you for doing it tomorrow, the next day. Thank you for the strength to stay standing in the midst of every tension. Lord, I pray that you give all of us those eyes to see what you are doing that's beyond what we can do. And Lord, I ask for all of us as well that we would stay on your path. Lord, keep us on your path. Keep us with that simplicity and purity of devotion to you. And where we've left that we would get right back. Where we've left first love, that we would return immediately today, this moment, and dive right back into the place where you are. where everything is okay, where you're holding the world together. We bless you and thank you and love you, Jesus. I ask you to be with everyone this week. Give them power. Give them joy. Continue to increase their faith. Help them to walk right in the midst of difficult situations and be your sound and have your wisdom and your, really, your perspective, your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. We have ministry teams, prayer teams up here. We have prophetic teams, which are encouraging teams in the family room. You also have your kids upstairs. Have an incredible week, and we'll see you next week.